Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And this is 21 Questions with Ernest Cervantes from Burnt Bean Company in Seguin, Texas. Good morning, Ernest. Good to see you again.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining me on my second episode of 21 Questions. We'll see if no one's counting, so at least it works if it's less or more 21 right. questions. But number one, we have the last episode that we did was February 15, 2021. How have these last 2 years, I know we'll cover them in some of the questions too, and there might be some overlap, but how have the last 2 years been for you? How do you feel?
To be honest, it's been a blur. You know, I've worked in the restaurant industry all my life, and I've opened a lot of corporate restaurants. But when you're running your own restaurant, it's a different animal. Mm-hmm. So it's literally a blur. It's a blessing, but a blur. I've been running 100 miles per hour, but I haven't had a chance to take a step back and to really look at the overall picture of how the Burnt Bean is doing, and as well as appreciating things. And eventually I will. I got too many goals, and right now it's all gas, no brakes, you know?
Yeah. And it seems that's the way you've been. And that is hard for everyone in life to kind of take a step back and evaluate like the last year or 2 years or 3 years. And like you said, you've been going at it, and there's so many moving parts and so many things you have to deal with. I'm sure your brain never does completely shut off.
Right. My brain runs 100 miles per hour. And that's the one thing too, is that I work so many hours and long hours. And when I go to bed, I pray that I go to sleep, and I don't, because if I don't go to sleep, or if I go to sleep for a little bit and I wake up just to turn, my mind kicks on. And then I'm thinking and thinking and thinking. And 2 o'clock in the morning comes really quick. So, you know, it's one of those type of things. But yeah, I couldn't ask for anything better than my restaurant. I waited all my life for it. So it's a blessing. And I'm excited.
What's most special, probably the number of things, but what's most special to you about Burnt Bean?
The most special thing, no one's actually asked me that question, but to tell you the truth, the most special thing about the Burnt Bean is it's me. I'm telling you my story. I'm telling you, you know, my journey through the years of barbecuing and competition, as well as what, you know, you're fantasized what would be in your restaurant. And you always think about that before you open a restaurant. Okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to serve? And now people are understanding my story and understanding my passion, as well as what I wanted to show at the world of what the Burnt Bean should be about. You know, where I always, ever since I was a little kid, I've always been different. I was picked on a lot and bullied when I was little. It's because I was different. I think even my parents didn't get me. You know what I mean? It's one of those type of things. I wasn't a bad kid. I wasn't a bad kid, but I always, like, my growing up, my question was why. You know, my dad would be like, hey, the reason why is this. And then you'd be like, why does it work? Or why does it do that? And I was always intrigued of why something worked, or the process of it becoming, you know, simple things like why, how do you make cheese? Or how does the transmission work? And I was one of those curious guys. So
some people didn't get me.
So people didn't get me. So that's the same way I had my concept when I opened the Burnt Bean, as well as me being a chef, was why does things happen? Why do we have to wrap briskets? Or why does, you know, at certain temperatures do we pull it away? And why does this, you know, side dish work better here than this way? And I've always been like that. I've always went the other way. Everybody went this way, and I was like that way.
Well, and we're thankful you did. We're all thankful that you did. And you brought up something interesting, because a lot of competition people, and you had your route, and we've, in our last interview, you kind of talked about how you kind of plotted this, like this was something methodical that you did, but how come a lot of barbecue guys in the competition world, their restaurants, or why do you think, don't necessarily translate well? Like the competition world doesn't always translate well to a restaurant. Have you thought about that? I wonder why.
It's 100. I know exactly the answer. The problem is when you're competing with barbecue competitions, you're using a lot of phosphates and injections and these over the top sauces and all the time consuming little things to make a perfect little bite. And people don't understand that people don't want that shit. Mm-hmm. You know, people just want good barbecue, and it doesn't have to have every bell and whistle. And I think another reason too is all these guys, and I'm at fault too, all these guys were so used to using Wagyus and A5s briskets that When it came down to a simple old school brisket, they don't know how to cook it and they don't understand that there's no fat. You might get, you know, we go through, I don't know, probably like close to 200, maybe 200 briskets a week. And you might find two or three that are Royal Marble. Other than that, you have to adapt. In competition, you're cooking one brisket.
And you it's know, for that, have, it's for that one bite, and you're cooking specifically right. for a judge's palate.
I want my guests to eat a pound. I don't want them to have a bite and say, "Ooh, that's too rich." It's good, but it's too rich.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the misconception of a lot of competition coaches is they're trying to bring that into their business plans when they open this restaurant, and it backfires. That's why I tell people everything I learned, and I think I told you this too, everything I learned in competition barbecue was put in the closet. This is a different animal. You know, this is a different animal. And that's why a lot of people don't respect what a lot of these barbecue guys are doing in the restaurant industry. It's some fucking hard work and you have to know what you're doing. And the funny part is in competition, you screw up, you can put a lot of sauce on it and you'll be okay. Here, you screw up, they'll tell you right then and there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's what,
and with a competition, you have next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks to do it again, where you have to be consistent every time you're open to your customers, and your customers that come back again, or the ones who have read great things about you or whatever. Yeah. That's, I've always wondered, because I know that there's a lot of great guys in competition, really great guys, who have failed or haven't done well in the restaurant world, because it's trying to get your head around, and you already had your restaurant ideas in your, yeah. the back of your head the whole time.
The whole, and I told you this before, the whole plan was not to be a competition god or whatever you want to call them, or one of these epic guys. My plan was just to get my name out and market the brand and market the Burnbee. So when I opened it, it kind of eased up on me getting noticed quicker. And all I had to do was produce a good product.
The name was familiar, yeah.
Right. Everybody's like, oh, I know Ernest from, I saw him on Pitmasters, or I saw him on Chop. Let me go. I just wanted you, all I wanted was everybody to try it once. And then if you liked it, then it'd come back. Yeah. And that's what it was all about.
I know that we've talked a little bit about your pits, but can you talk, because you have two mill scales, you have a Centex. I don't quite know what mill scale. Most people probably know what you're cooking on those.
And we got an M&M now.
I was going to say, and then you have an M&M coming up. Can you talk about your pit?
Here was our deal. This is coming from Dave as well. We did not want to just stay there, just like barbecue. There's so many great barbecue joints. Like, you know, you have Leroy Lewis and you got the guys from Cadillac and you even got guys down like Butters and all those cats and 2M. There's so many great barbecue joints, right? But everybody has their own personality. Same thing with pits. You know, there's so many great pit makers out there and pit builders, and everyone cooks different. And if you ever saw me in my whole competition days, I always cook on a different pit.
Yeah.
The reason why was I could stay with this one pit, let's just say a Jambo, and be successful and it'd be okay. But it challenges you to figure it out on the next pit. And that's what the whole thing is. A Syntex cooks different than a mill scale, and a mill scale cooks different than M&M, and you know, even my HEB barrels and everything else. So I like the challenges. So does Dave. I want to be. I hate the word pitmaster.
Yeah,
I think
I use it because it's familiar, but I hate it.
And
so
I get
much.
It. And yeah. I totally respect it. There's nothing wrong with using it. I always tell people the two position titles that I've always worked hard for was one being called dad, and the other one being called chef. Those are the ones I always worked hard for, but. Going back to that, I wanted to be that kind of guy, and Dave has too. We want to be that guy that you doesn't matter what we cook on, we're going to try to produce the best quality product. So it's like if we ever went and borrowed a pit, or it doesn't matter what it is, or a challenge, it's like, bring it, because we know how to cook on everything.
The Centex, what are you mostly cooking on that? What do you call that pit? What do you call? I've asked even Mike, what does he call it?
I call it La Chingona, which is like a female badass, but she's too sexy to have a name. She just,
it's gorgeous.
She sits there and she's just sexy.
It's art.
And it's a work of art. The thing with her is that she cooks as good as she looks. You know what I mean? She's not a Clydesdale. She's more of a stallion. She's an Arabian horse, and she does her work, and she's a thoroughbred. All of them are thoroughbreds, but like my mill scales and my M&M, those are my Clydesdales. Those are the ones we fire up every single day. We load them up. They're out there in the farm working like a Clydesdale would or a working horse. My Syntex is that Ferrari that you want in, you know, in the garage, which she is garage kept. And you bring her out, but when she does, she kicks ass. But that's what she is.
Do you already have the M&M?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it came in
Yeah,
already.
we
They were.
just got it this past week, man. It's pretty bitchin', man. And then they go, you know, they use that gold leaf. I always told Dave that in the front, the Burn Bean, where it has Burn Bean logos, I always wanted those old school paint, like the bars, the old saloons with the gold
I
leaf,
love
but we couldn't
that,
afford it, so we had to use vinyl. You know, eventually we might do that one day, but
okay, cool. So what are you using that one? Is that a rotisserie?
it's a rotisserie. I don't know which one it is. It's a big one. It holds 1,000 pounds.
Okay.
We have a lot of plans for that. Right now, it's going to be primarily cooking all our turkeys, our barbacoa, our ribs, everything but briskets. And the reason why is because we haven't figured that out yet. We'll eventually get there. Pork butts as well, pork steaks, chicken, all the stuff that we use all the time. And then, of course, for catering, that'll help alleviate the. We were so busting out on the seams. Right now, the operations is that it sucks because we could do. I tell Dave every day when we sell out, I say, man, we left a lot of meat on the bone. And what I mean that is we had to turn away a lot of customers that are still long, you know, the line's still a block long, and we're starting to tell people where we're at and they're slowly leaving. The reason why is because we have 2 1,000s, but we used to have a 500 in the back, and that's an East Texas smoker. But now we put that into a patio and we're growing. So we had to make pull the trigger, and Dave really wanted to go with M&M, and I totally agree with him. And those guys from M&M are fantastic guys that just love their craft. And again, this goes back to these guys, they're fabricators of art. They're artists. You see that, like, just as much as if you have one of my dishes and the small little details that I put that you wouldn't pay attention to, same thing with these guys. Like, this rotisserie is just phenomenal. The work of art of mill scale on those guys. You know, it's just like Jesus, Matt and Caleb, you know, it's like, dude, you know, and then you got Michael with his syntax, and everyone has their style and everyone has their epic details. And that's the same thing with these. Yeah, and that's what we like. But yeah, we're gonna utilize now all the 1,000s to really fill them up with briskets. And our plan is on the weekends to sell 50 plus briskets on
That's
Saturday and
nice.
Sundays. Sundays we can, we can probably get away with a little bit more, because we have breakfast. Because right now we're just getting so slaughtered. You know, we're doing 40 plus right now on Sunday, and by 11:30, like yesterday, I think we did 40. Oh man, I think like 49 briskets or 50. Don't quote me on that. I gotta
That's a
figure out.
decent amount, though, if around
Yeah,
that. Yeah.
and we were down to 22 by 11:15.
My
It's
word.
because breakfast kills us,
Yeah.
and a lot of people have gotten smart that we're open so early, so they buy their product as we have it available before they go for the line. Eventually, we'll be rocking and
And
rolling.
that'll be great for the holiday season coming up too. I
Oh
mean,
yeah, we could put
it's not here
turkeys,
yet, but it'll
rotisseries,
be.
and yeah, we have a lot of plans. And then, you know, our eventual goal is to, we have a couple of gas stations that are good friends of ours that own a bunch of gas stations. They want us to do a lot of their chopped brisket for them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and then they put burnt bean out there, and they can get a chopped brisket sandwich, which is, you know, mailbox money, as we call
Definitely. I wanted to ask because I've bugged David a number of times, and he's not front facing like you are. Can you tell us something about David or a couple things about David that we don't know?
David likes cars. David likes a lot of cars. He likes cars and trucks. He loves his family. He's a good family man. Loves his grandkids to death. Dave is that guy that him and I, the reason why we get along so much is that we're total opposite. He's the yin to my yang. I'm the vinegar and he's the sugar. He's a hardworking guy. He born and not born and raised in Seguin, but he has passion, and I love his grit and I love his determination because it's hard to work with him. I'll be honest with you. It's very hard. Ask Anthony too. Anthony's my GM. It's hard to work for me. And the reason why is because I reach out for perfection. My standards are very high. You know, sometimes you get a batch of briskets or that are just wonky, and you got to adapt to it. And sometimes we talk about it, and he knows when I'm not happy with him, and he knows when I'm very happy with him. And same thing with the Sarge sausage program and everything else. It has to be the standard of mine, and that's what makes it so hard. But they see how much work I put into it, and they put them just as much as work. So it's a reputation and a respect that we have towards each other. And Dave and I have had that since we've met. It's one of those that it's a mutual respect, but Dave is very passionate. He's very quiet, but he's a man. You remember back in the day, back in the old days, where a man's handshake is good as gold? That's pretty much Dave. He's a man
That
of his
says a
word.
lot.
And it is, because in this industry, you have to only have, there's only a few people that you can trust. And I trust my wife, and I trust him, and with my life. And I think the feeling is mutual, because I do anything for him, and I think he'd do anything for me. And it's just one of those type of things that you have to have if you want to have a successful business. Yeah. There cannot be any doubt. Everything is transparent, coming from financials to what we're doing.
It has to
He's
be.
Not, you know, it can't. It's not one of those things that I tell Dave, oh yeah, by the way, I went ahead and spent $70,000. You know, you can't do that. Everything, we even, it's kind of funny because, you know, he might be like, hey, I'm going to go to the Home Depot to go buy things. I'm like, you don't need to tell me that. You know what I mean? But I'm the same way. I'm, you know, hey, but he does, he's really good with his hands too. He, everything you see there, he fixes. That's his niche to it. I think barbecuing, he fixes a lot of stuff. Me, I barbecue, but also I'm the creator of all the menus.
Yeah.
And I come up with all the stuff. So we all have our things. And I'm the same way. I'm like, hey, I'm going to Ace Mart because I got to go get this, this. He's like, why are you telling me? But it's not a, it's the respect that we have towards each other that goes a long ways, is that we respect each other. And people don't understand this, but we've known each other for 11 years. And we worked with each other for 11
years. I was going to ask you that. 11 years. I thought it was around there. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like I tell people, he built his resume before I even asked him to be my partner. I always tell people, if you want to work with me, you have to build your resume. And a lot of people that I work with in other restaurants, they want to come and work for me, but I saw your resume. And what I mean by your resume is your work ethics, the way you, you know, applied yourself at the job. Did you call in? Did you work hard? Did you grind out? And if you didn't, you already wrote your resume. You don't even bother coming by because I'm not going to hire you. There's only eight of us.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about your team? Because I'd like to highlight them a little bit too.
Okay, so my team consists of eight people. We have two that are they come on the weekends and they're high school kids. But we have eight BMFs. Those eight have gone through the ringer. And what I mean by the ringer is my standards. And they upheld the standards. I've gone through at least 100 and some employees. It's not that I'm strict, or it's not that I'm like an asshole. But my standards are high, and unless you understand that and get it, then move on. And I don't pay, and it's kind of crazy, but I don't pay anybody. No one's on my payroll for the first 3 weeks. I pay you labor. I pay you per day. If I don't like the way your attitude is, if you're a cancer, as I call it, that influence, you know what a cancer is?
Yeah.
If you bring this bad vibe and this attitude, and it's starting to rub off on everybody else, you're gone. And then sometimes they just don't get it. And then you find one in a diamond in the rough, or you find one really good, and you keep them. And when you keep them, you make them family. You pay them very well, and you make them excited. When I don't take credit for anything I do. So if you love the sides, I'm like, oh, thanks. I don't say that. I came up with the recipes, and they know my standards. But if Steph made the dang recipe, tell Steph. If Kayla made the cakes you love, tell Kayla. If you love that customer service, talk to Chris. If you love this, talk to, I don't ever take it. And you know what, how good that makes them feel is that when we're on TV or we're getting a show, I'm like, this is the one that made it. They get all giddy because they're the ones that did it.
And they're working hard.
I'm not going to go and, I'm not going to be like, oh yeah, it was all me. And they're right behind me and they feel like they're not appreciated. I don't get credit to, I give credit where credit's due. And that's how it is. And that's how you treat family. And that's why I take care of these guys like you wouldn't believe. And that's why we're so strong. If I have eight, I always tell, this is another story, but I always tell David, if there's three BMFs, if there's three bad motherfuckers, me, you, and Anthony, we can conquer the world. You understand what I mean? And the same thing with my team. We're like the 300, the guys with 300. I don't need 16. I just need eight bad ones. And these guys can do three or four of the people's job, and they execute it right. And now we are looking for two. And if we get this other thing going, we're going to probably need a pit master. Yeah, just eight of us, dude. Eight of us. That's crazy.
So it takes a lot. So if someone is watching this or listening to this and is interested in working at Brute Mean, it takes a special person, and you have to be able to give of yourself and work hard and not, all the time because you have some random thing.
We work as a family and we eat as a family. I brought a lot of my restaurant industry standards as I did as a chef. As we create, you know, we make new dishes. We all have team huddles at the beginning of the meeting. I bring out new dishes. They try it. They understand it so they can describe it to the customers or our guests. And then at the end of the day, we sit down as a family. We have lunch together and we talk about the day. And if anybody had any animosity towards anybody, we hash it out right then and there. So when we're all good and we're all straight and we work the next day again. And we do that every single time we're here. It's because you have to have good energy. You have to have people excited to work, because at the end of the day, we open those doors, we're not going to be slow. We're going to get our ass kicked.
Yeah, every day, every single day. What is there something that we don't know about you?
I like musicals.
You like musicals? That's cool.
Yeah, I love musicals. But no, I'm a big bear. I'm a really nice guy. I'm a funny guy. I was more of an extrovert all my life. I was Mr. Popular and loved to do all these things. But now, ever since I've opened my restaurant and I spend so much time by myself, my circle's gotten smaller, if you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm becoming more of an introvert.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I think that happens as we get older.
Yeah, I've kind of like thinned the herd, my real friends and then friends that I know. And then my people that are in my circle are very small. Mm-hmm. I would say maybe 6. Maybe even 5. I have a lot of good friends and there's nothing wrong with that. But I don't know. I guess, like you said, we're getting older. We don't want to deal with bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, I like being peaceful with my dogs. And that's
what kind of dogs do you have?
I have 2 Frenchies. They're right there, Bruno and Juanita. They're right now chewing up a box while I'm on this interview.
Oh, is that where? Okay, so yeah. That's where we're. Okay, cool. So if you hear a little every so often something, it's your dog.
Yeah, they're being nosy over here. Look at them.
Let's see.
Can you see them?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, they're being dogs.
Yeah, but they're being Frenchies. Frenchies are a pain in the butt. But
yeah, I wanted to talk about your first barbecue memory, but also I wanted to also talk about what Tootsie means to you, because Tootsie's so important to all of us. And do you have any special memories with her?
I do. You know, the thing about Tootsie that a lot of people, you know, yes, she's a queen of barbecue. Yes, she has a heart of gold, but you understand that she was doing shit before this shit was cool.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? She, and this is something, and I don't think no one knows this except my wife. Without getting emotional, I watch the chef's table with Snows when they interview Tootsie at least twice a week.
Wow.
And
I've watched it like 10 times. It's really...
Yeah, no, I've watched it over 100 plus times. And the reason why I watch it, it's because after you've watched it after 10 times, you see the small little details that she does. You see the small little things that she does when she's on the pit room. The way she talks about certain things, her life story. She's lived a hell of a life, man. Mm-hmm. And to be 80, what is she, 86 or 88 now?
Something like that, yeah. I think 88, yeah.
I think she just celebrated her birthday. To see what she's done in a lifetime is amazing. But what she did it when it wasn't cool. It was work.
It was a job.
It was a job and it was working. She loved it. She had her own little barbecue joint and she served her pork steaks and everything for her husband. And when she talked about all that, and people don't understand that, that's my same philosophy. I look up to her in that part, not because of her popularity, not because of what she does. It's because she fucking works.
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand you have to work. And you know what? I'm going to do this and then I'm going to go during the rest of the week and I'm going to clean and hang out with kids at school and then come and get my ass kicked all weekend and then do it, because at the end of the day you have to work. A lot of people don't understand that. A lot of the new generations want this notoriety and want all this stuff and want to be part of this really cool club, which I don't understand. It's not called, but you gotta work.
Yeah,
you gotta sacrifice. And people know, if you ask me, hey, what's chef's words, I will live by 2 words. It's called sacrifice and discipline. And Tootsie, if you see that show over and over and over, you see her grind, you see her work. And we're seeing this right now, and it was filmed when she was 80. Imagine when she was in her 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine when she was in her 40s, when she was at her peak of her, I love that, because you don't see people working hard like that anymore. And people, you know, they always say, what's the saying? The harder I work, the luckier I get. And it's true. You have to put the grind in. Sometimes I work and I don't mind. But a lot of people want to work a year or two and then just, you know, delegate. And then they wonder why they're not successful anymore, yeah, or why it's kind of sticking down. You have to be there every day. And I told Dave, I said, just give me 4 years and I'll help you. I'll get you some replacements. I'm different than Dave. Dave wants a life and I respect that. I don't want a life. I've waited 13 years for this and I want to be there every day and I want to see my guests come in and I want to serve them and I want to cook. Maybe when I'm in my 60s, that'd be a different story. But hell, if Tootsie can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I might not put in the 90 plus hours that I'm putting in now, but that's why I love Tootsie.
She's an inspiration.
That's part of my inspiration. She's not my inspiration because she's the queen of barbecue. She's my inspiration because she worked hard. Mm-hmm. She had good values. She was a mom. She was a loving wife. She did things that don't exist anymore. Being married and taking care of your family when her husband had a stroke. And she was the one that was responsible for bringing in home the income. She was the one that stepped up to bat. She didn't give up or give it like now. You know, she's the one that does. And I look at that because we grind every day. I grind for my family. That's why I work hard, because I come home and I see them. And I that's why I work hard.
Yeah.
You want a better life for them. But the same thing with her. She's that's why I look up to her. And then when she comes to my she came to my restaurant and I was like, what? Hello, artist. And I'm like, oh, man, this is so cool. And you can't help. So she's so infectious. With so, her love is that you can't help to want to hold her and hug her. She's so infectious in that. And it was funny because there was so many people that were like, oh my God, Tootsie's at the Burnt Bean. They want to take pictures. I'm like, I told everybody, he's like, let her eat. These are customers and guests. Let her eat. And then when she's done, if you can come and approach her. Well, she took a ton of pictures, and I shit you not, she got up from her chair and went outside in the line. And started talking to everybody.
Everybody's what like, a sweet
like,
human.
Like, yeah, I was like, everybody's like, oh my God, Tootsie's here. And they were like, this is the best year of our birthday. And I'm taking pictures with Tootsie. And she just made everybody's day just by her presence.
Mm-hmm.
If I could only get half of that in my lifetime in barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
And bring that joy to someone taking a picture with me, I'll be happy, because that is. Just to see people's faces light up to see Tootsie. If I could get half of that in my career, I would be happy.
Oh, that's a great story. I didn't know she did that. That is, well,
yeah.
What's your favorite thing to cook at Burnt Bean?
I like to work with lamb.
Okay.
I work with lamb, and people are like, well, I haven't seen it on your menu. If you know anything about me, I don't throw anything out there. I've been working on it for 2 years, whole lamb, and then certain parts of the lamb cuts. Hopefully within the next month, I'll be actually unveiling it. You're first to know this. If you know anything about me, just like my burger and the pork steak and everything, we just don't throw it out there and on a whim and say, okay, well, we'll see how it goes. No, it has to be executed right, and it has to have a certain profile that I'm looking for. Yeah, so we're working on lamb right now. We've done every other kind of protein there is.
Yeah, it seems like, yeah. Pork steaks, what differentiates your pork steak from other places or from like a Snow's?
They're first made in Burnt Bean and they're gangster, but no, our pork steaks are different. You know, our pork steaks are different. They've got their personality. Again, this has to go with while everybody goes this way, I go that way. And mm-hmm. The reason why is that when Dave and I don't even know how it came around, but I told Dave, okay, honestly, we came up with specials during the week. It's because of our usuals. The guys from the courthouse, both courthouses, they love their barbecue, but they wanted something different, but they didn't want to go anywhere else but support Burnt Bean. So I was like, let's do a pork steak. And he's like, yeah, that's a good idea, but let's not do the thin ones. Let's do the big gaudy 2-inch thick ones and serve it as a lunch special. And they're only $17. And it comes with two sides. It's cheaper than anything else on the menu. You can eat on it for 3 days, but it was tailored for our locals. It wasn't tailored for our guests. So that's why it's cheaper, because it's an in and out meal. And we worked on that. We worked on it, and Dave and I came out with it. And we're really proud of it with the vinegar-based sauce that we put on it. And a lot of people like it. And Dave found something that he does to it that just puts some voodoo magic on it. And it's like butter, man. I'm not going to tell you what we do, because a lot of people are like, okay, you're grilling it, but it's still like really, we're doing a lot of crazy shit. We always have to make everything so complicated, but it's a really good product that we output at the end of the day. And I'm very proud. And then we serve it with our China rice, which is really cool. Only on Thursdays.
So that's only on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then also I've seen photos of two different burgers. Do you have two different, oil can?
Yeah. So we have our regular red onion cheeseburger or red cheeseburger. And that's Thursdays and Fridays, but only on Fridays you get the oil can. The reason why is because we serve smoked prime rib on Fridays as our special. Well, I make a brisket demi-glace.
That's so what it is. Okay.
That, and it looks like oil.
Yeah.
So I said, let's call it the oil can. And the reason why was one day, you know, at the end of the shift where there's very small pickings. So I always save a couple of the team always likes to eat burgers on Friday. So I always save like 10 burgers. We sold out of prime rib, but we had a little bit of the sauce left over. So I made a burger and I just dipped it in there and I was like, what is this? So I was like, Dave, try this. And he's like, oh my God. I'm like, I know. So it just elevated the burger flavor. It didn't even taste like anything no one's ever done. So I would start selling it to my local cousin. I have a lot of guinea pigs, as I call them. They're the ones that my locals, and I'm like, look, try this. And I usually give it to them for free. And I put the oil can, and he's like, what do I do with this? And like, pour it on your burger. So I dip it? No, pour it on there and then eat it. And they do it. And they're like, oh my God. So that's why you see the pictures. You
It's
can see it
gorgeous.
cascading.
Yeah.
And it brings it to another level. It's like a French dip burger on steroids. I don't know what else, but it just really, it's really good.
And
We
that is
only
that
serve it
always Fridays?
every Friday. Yeah.
Every Friday. Okay. And then there's like a red
The red
something.
onion cheeseburger.
Yeah, is that what it was? Yeah, red burger, red, yeah, red.
Yeah, the red onion cheeseburger. That's our cheeseburger. It took me a year and a half to make, and that had a lot to do with my dad. My dad is a big burger snob, as I say. He doesn't critique them, you know, like that. But it doesn't matter where we're at. If we're at a nice restaurant or a diner or cafe, he's gonna order a burger. So he always asks, "Hey, you gonna ever make a burger?" And I'm like, "Okay, challenge accepted." But it couldn't just be a burger. Just going to It had to be the burger to my dad's standards.
So is that available on different days, or is that
Just
just every
Thursdays and Fridays.
just Thursdays and Fridays? But then, can you get the ale can version of that, or is that a separate different
No,
burger though?
it's the same burger.
It's the same
It's
burger, but
the same burger, but the only difference is you put the demi glace on the oil can.
what is the best business advice you can give someone?
Okay, the best restaurant is start small because you can control it. Especially and the other business advice I have to people is if you've never worked in the restaurant industry and you think your barbecue is good, if you're willing, I tell them this. And I have a lot of people coming up and says, "Hey, look, I have a dream of opening a restaurant." I'm like, "Look, I get it. I don't want you to be. I'm not going to be a dream thief. But have you ever worked in the restaurant industry?" And most of them say no. I said, "Do you enjoy holidays?" He's like, "Yes." I said, "Do you enjoy your weekends?" "Yes." "Do you enjoy being with your family?" "Yes." "Do you enjoy doing a lot of fun stuff?" He goes, "Yes." "We'll throw that shit out because you're not going to do it." "Do you enjoy sleep?" "You're not going to get it." I said, "Do you enjoy not making money? Because sometimes puts you so much, you're not making anything." I said, "You're not going to like it." I said, "And get ready to do it every single day. And oh, on your days off, you're either going to the Ace March, you're going to fix things, you're going to go do a bunch of stuff because at the beginning you have no money and you got to do it on your own." I said, "If you like doing all that because you love to barbecue and your product is good, then do it."
That's great advice.
I tell people that you see they see us and they're like, "Ernest, I look up to you and I see your journey." I said, "You've seen my journey of what I've explained, but you didn't see the little things of worrying about is this right?" You question yourself, is this the right thing to do? Or you don't see, can you hear him back there tearing it
Yeah, they're
up?
going, he's going even crazier.
Oh, he's going dog shit. You just see that, "Bruno, stop it." Like he just tore up a whole box. My wife's gonna kill me. Yeah, it's horrible. Look at the mess he just made. Can you see it down there? I
No,
don't know.
now I can see. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
Anyways,
funny.
I tell people that. And if you still want to do it, then do it. And I tell people, this is another thing I tell people. When you doubt yourself in the middle of working and you're tired and you want to give up, if you want to give up, but you're doing so good, but you want to give up and you're frustrated, I said, tell yourself, how bad do you want it? Because at the end of every storm, there's a rainbow.
Well,
It
and
doesn't
also too,
matter.
you have to have a spouse that understands that too, because if you
You
have a
have to
spouse
support.
or person, a partner that doesn't understand that, it's not going to work, because you have to be able to do anything at any moment to make sure it
Exactly.
works. Yeah.
And if she's and if she's and if she's what she truly is and she truly loves you, she's not necessarily your spouse. She's your ride and die. And you know what? When you got to do something, she's right there with you, helping you out. Because when I started off, it was just me and my wife, and then Dave came around. And at the end of the day, the three BMFs, two is my wife. Though my wife does all the stuff that no one sees, and people don't understand how valuable a woman. She doesn't have to do it. She doesn't have to sacrifice her weekends and her days off because she's a teacher. You
Oh
know,
yeah, I remember you telling me that.
she doesn't have to do it, but she does it because one, this is hers too. This is really hers too, and two is because she loves you. It's one of those type of things.
What's her favorite? Does she have a favorite dish at Burt Bean or something that
Oh
she likes?
yeah. So she likes one slice of fatty and one rib and bacon ranch taters. And then on the weekends, she likes her molleja taco.
Advice-wise, say someone was coming to order and coming for the first time, and now that a lot of people know about you, there's a lot of first timers. What would you recommend they get?
During the week, I advise you to get this pork steak or get the sausage, the brisket, the ribs, because obviously that's what we're known for. But if you've been here more than once, then you want to try some cool stuff. I tell people to get the pork chop on Sunday and Saturday. That's my favorite.
Pork
Not
chops are
the
so
beef
good.
rib. You know, not everything else is phenomenal. Don't get me wrong, but I love me a pork chop, and we make a damn good pork chop.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. So Sunday, your Sunday brunch, has it changed since? It's kind of evolved, right? What can people expect basically from the Sunday brunch? Or does it change every time?
It changes every week. And that's fun is that Brian and Andrew from Tales of Two Pits said it best. He goes, I like coming to this place because there's always some different shit here. Mm-hmm. He goes, it's not the same old stuff. He goes, you're always running something different. And that's the chef in me, is that's my day to spread my wings. And I always have the basic, the World Run Shows, the Casanovas, the Blue Octobers, and, our base tacos. But then I always throw out two new tacos every Sunday,
okay,
and a special. And that just, I get inspired by something and we roll them out. And if you're lucky, we'll have it just that day. But if it's a really good special, we'll run it for a couple of weeks. And if it's really, really good, we'll put it on the menu, like the Blue October and the World Rancheros. I'm always innovating, always bringing fresh stuff to it. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
And it looks like a nice, not like church, but it's like church. It's like food church. It's like a...
Hey, man, I'm the Pope. You're coming to the cathedral on Sunday, man.
That is true. What time are folks lining up on Sunday?
It depends. Like this week, they didn't show up till about 6:45. Sometimes I get freaked out because I'm by myself and there's people out there sitting up there at 5:30 in the morning. So by 8 o'clock, by the time we open, it's down the block and it doesn't stop until we close the doors.
What time would you recommend so that you can get brunch? Would you say get there by 8 the latest?
7:30.
Okay.
And then there's a little sweet spot between 9:30. After that, church gets out at 9:30 and the lines just, they get big and good luck.
Can you tell me something more or tell us something more about Seguin? Because we talked a little bit about Seguin, but can you talk about how special Seguin is for you?
Seguin's awesome. I've always loved Seguin. I worked here for 17 years before I even opened up my restaurant. It has that small town feel, and that's what I loved about it. They've always opened their arms to me and they've always accepted me as one of the chefs in the town. There was very few of us. I think there was three of us. They've always supported. They've supported me in my other restaurant. I mean, the other restaurant and this one. They're just true blue. It's a blue collar town. Mm-hmm. It's an industrial town. You have so many big factories in this town. And the people are just meat and potatoes. They want good. I think we have, I kid you not, I think we have like 45 Mexican restaurants in this town.
What's it do? I was gonna say, what's your favorite non-barbecue restaurant in Seguin? Do you have a couple favorite
So I like Noe's and Yoli's for Mexican food, and then A-10 for Chinese food. And it's funny because A-10 has the best Chinese food anywhere close than Austin and San Antonio. It's fucking good. It's better than anything in New Braunfels. And then Johnny's, here's the funny part. There's a place called Johnny's Barbecue. Johnny's Barbecue doesn't really serve barbecue. They might have back in the day, but it's one of those, those creaky old school doors that you walk into and you step back into the 60s and you hear that old George Jones playing in the corner. And how you doing, honey? You know, it's one of those.
I love that.
How you doing? Ernest, how's work? And you have nothing but like 70-year-old men, 80-year-old men, and they're just sitting there talking about the weather and how the ranch is, and they talk, everything slows down there, but they make the best food. It's just like cafe style food, from fried chicken to chicken fried steaks to mashed potatoes. Chili and cheese fries are probably the best I've ever had. Burgers are those, those bowling alley burgers that you put in a paper sack and it's greasy, and they have like 100, and then the pies, oh my God, they have at least 15 pies every day. Scratch me.
Is this a 7 days a week kind of place?
Yeah, 7 days a week, lunch and dinner. I don't think breakfast, but I'm always there. I know I'm always there. I'm always there after work. My dinner is at 3 o'clock, 3 to 4, because I go to bed by 7. Yes, but it's so good. Just don't get the barbecue. They have barbecue there.
It's not what they're known
for. No, but
at least in your mind.
Yeah, and get everything else, and it's my favorite. And Dave and I go there a lot. Dave eats there all the time. He gets the steak fingers, and they're steak fingers, chicken fried steak fingers, but they use chicken, like they bread them themselves.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, so it's like really good, and the gravy's old school, and it's lumpy, and the mashed potatoes are full of pepper and lumpy, and it's like this is real food, and it's good. It's
That's
my
the kind of
favorite.
place. That's the kind of place you've been driving for 3 hours, and you pull into some town, and you're like, "This is just a gem." That
Yeah, and
sounds
that
okay.
and when you go in there and they don't know you, they kind of look at you like, who the hell are
Yeah,
you?
where's he coming
This
from?
is because this is the funny part is that's one part that's so special to Seguin is that the people that don't want change and the people that just like how Seguin was before it's blown up is one of those places, and they don't want people to mess around with their secret. This is their little honey hole where all the locals go and the old school locals and the ranchers and the farmers, and that they appreciate things. They sit down and have a cold beer because they have long necks there, and they give you a look like, but now they know who, when I went in there, they're like, but now they know who I am, and they're like, hey, Ernest, come on in. They're good now. But
That's well, hopefully that place stays there. That would be great
it
if
will
it.
stay. I know I told, and I'll say this too, is that I always tell Dave, I was like, they're going to retire one day, and I hate to see this place close down. I would love to buy it and keep, and don't touch it.
They
Just
don't
let it
change
run.
it. Yeah, definitely. What's so, you had mentioned, because I was going to ask you what your favorite album is, but also you mentioned musicals. What's your favorite musical?
I like things like Glee and Pitch Perfect, those kind of things. When I was a little kid, I was in a lot of musicals like, Oliver and
Oh.
Oklahoma. It was cheesy, but that's all I did. Album wise, right now I'm hearing a lot of the Black Pumas right now. St. Paul and the Broken Bones, been hearing that. Hearing a lot of Mana too. I change it up. If you ever go to the restaurant, we always play something cool. Right now we're playing on Fridays, which is one of my favorite bands of all time. It's called Tito and the Tarantulas. I don't know if you've ever heard of
It
them.
sounds familiar, but I don't know, I haven't.
Basically, if you ever heard of a Quentin Tarantino soundtrack, all his
Okay.
music is there. From Des even Robert Rodriguez's stuff like Desperado and Dust Till Dawn and Kill Bill and those things. A lot of Tito's. Actually, Tito was in a lot of the movies too. He's the guy with the long hair. That's one of the bartenders,
Oh, yeah.
and it's look them up. They're really good. Tito and the Tarantulas, and but I hear all kinds of music. Sometimes Dave gets. The only thing I'll tell you is something about Dave. Dave loves. We just finished watching Depeche Mode, and the real. Actually, the last week was The Cure, and
Oh, nice.
last week was The Cure. We watched Depeche Mode, New Order, Journey, Toto. In the past month and a half, we're big. We love music. We love music. I love
Good.
all the music. So we're always jamming, except there's only between 2 in the morning till 7 till he gets there. For 5 hours, I'm by myself. I love to hear trance music like DJ Tiesto and Armin van Buuren and all those cats. Dave hates it. Dave, he's like, turn that shit off. But I'm like, I just, it's like,
So he
it's
loves
out.
the eight. He's an 80s guy. He like
Oh, we
he's
both
like
are. We're
my yeah.
older.
He's you're like you're my generation. We're all the same. Yeah.
Yeah, we're all and oh yeah, one thing about Dave that a lot of people don't know about, the dude has a really cool collection of GT bikes, like Diamondbacks and GT and Mongooses. And I'm not talking like he restores some of them, but I'm not talking like a knockoff. I'm talking the 1985 all original GT, and he'll show you pictures that probably cost like $14,000. Those are how, and he has them hanging on his house, like in his room. It's
Oh,
so
really?
cool. Yeah, and he's working on one right now, and he's really passionate about it. The guy loves cars too, and I should have said this before. He loves his GT bikes and BMX bikes, and he goes into debt of like he goes and spends like $500 on these caliper brakes that were original on this one bike he's making that they don't make anymore, and he had to go and get it. And you can't buy the ones when there was pre-88 because that was made in Taiwan. You need to get them from this, which was made in some
That's
other country.
awesome.
Like, but he's so passionate about it, and I love it. But yeah, he collects really cool GT bikes and builds them too.
I remember when like kids would come up and like these badass bikes,
Yeah,
and you'd be like, "Damn, how did he end up with that? I have a
you remember
Schwinn."
Rad? You remember the movie Rad?
Yeah.
That was a cool movie. I used to watch that movie all the time. Couldn't afford those bikes, but
I had a Schwinn, and I think one of my friends had a Diamondback, and I was like, gosh, it was because they're
yeah,
light and the frames were
fair
lighter.
enough.
Yeah, they slowly got better and better. I wanted to finish this up because this has been a fantastic talk. What do you love about
The
Texas?
difference between Texas and you won't know this. I say the difference between us and everybody else outside of Texas, that means in the country or out of the country, is Texas takes a lot of pride in everything they do. And you don't know how good you have it until you go to a different country or a different state and you miss the simple things like barbecue, breakfast tacos, the nice people are. And I miss that. And it's funny because when I used to travel for my other job, I would miss simple things like tacos in the morning or a breakfast that didn't have to do with what I'm not used to eating. And that's what makes Texas so special is we take pride in everything. The people that make Texas is special, and especially our barbecue brothers and sisters, is you can't beat them. You just can't beat it. I'm born and raised in Texas, and I'm proud to be from Texas.
The James Beard Award, being a finalist, how does that feel?
I haven't gotten any sleep. I'll be honest with you, I haven't gotten any sleep. That's all I think about. And I you know, got to the point where I'm getting sick. I mean, you know what I mean by getting sick? I'm making myself sick, worrying, and stress. It's a lot of pressure because you're doing it not just for your restaurant, but it's not about the restaurant. It's about the barbecue brothers. It's like we can, just because we put things on butcher paper, just because we put things on a paper plate, does not mean we cannot hang with the best white linen and fine china restaurant in the country. And we can produce a lot of good food, but you have to see it the way we see it in our eyes. And we're just as good as them. And we are, I think we're just better than them because we're using ugly cuts of meats. We're not using high-end meats that you can pay that these fancy restaurants are doing. And that pressure is weighed in on me. And I've been getting sick, and I had a really good friend told me this. And he says, Ernest, if you can honestly tell yourself and look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself, did you leave it all out there? Did you give it 110%? And you're okay with that? And I'm like, yes. He goes, then there's nothing else you could do. And you can go to sleep at night knowing that. And it's true. Because at the end of the day, just like as much as we're trying to go for the best barbecue in Texas in the next 3 years, every day I give it 110%. Every day I give it my best. So I can't do anything else. And I will be okay with that. Because if I was cutting up and I was missing work, just playing around, and we were slacking, and that one day I slacked, they came in and tried my food, I would never forgive myself.
Definitely. Well, thank you for doing what you're doing. Thank you for always being so cordial and kind. And I appreciate our friendship, and we haven't actually physically ever met. Have a great week. Have a great
You too.